kid tested, mother approved. WSJM. It's Taking the Lead with Ray Gustafson.
8:12 on Taking the Lead. Glad you could join us. It's Tuesday, May the 7th, and glad you're here. And because it's Tuesday and it's a little after 8, it's time for Living Gracefully with Todd Dougherty from Woodland Terrace. Good morning, Todd Dougherty. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Ray. Good morning to you.
You've got a great smile on your face this morning. You must be happy about something, or you just passed gas. I don't know which one it is. I'm just kidding. Did I say that out loud? Sometimes I just think things, and I probably don't really need to be saying those. Yeah, well, anyway. There, I've just embarrassed you this morning. How's that? Sorry about that.
Luckily, you can't see my red face on the radio. So.
Well, look at me. I mean, exactly. So, all right. Well, glad you're here in a little dry. We've got a few sprinkles coming down, but nothing to worry about. So, well, we've been talking, Todd, for the past couple of weeks about caregivers and the stresses and everything that caregivers go through, because a lot of people don't know what a caregiver goes through and what they, the sacrifices they make and the things that they give up. But now we want to kind of take it to the next level, I guess, is, adjusting to life after you've been a caregiver. And sometimes it could have been for many, many years that that you're in the caregiving mode. And now you're past that.
Yeah. So, we talk a lot about how caregivers, different ways how caregivers can take care of themselves, how they can bring in help for them while they're going through the caregiving piece. We often forget to actually talk about that piece of once you're done being a caregiver, mm-hmm. And kind of how to go back to a normal life. And that can be really challenging for a lot of people. We're lucky at Woodland Terrace that we form a lot of really deep relationships with families. And so we continue those relationships, even though a resident may not be living with us anymore. And I became more mindful of this in the last couple of weeks as some conversations have taken place with former resident family members. And how we really need to talk about this more. Like what happens when you go back to your normal, whatever normal is, when you go back to your normal life.
If there is such a thing as normal life, yes. Yeah. How do you get acclimated back in? Because, people are creatures of habit, obviously. You get used to this routine of caring for this loved one or a family member or a friend for, like I said, sometimes multiple years. And you want to get back into some sort of a normal life.
You do. So I posted an article under our resource tab that has some great tips. It's kind of 10 tips, 10 ways to adjust to life after caregiving. So there's some great tips in there. Kind of just going through those really quickly. One of the big things is to resume as much of a normal life as possible. So look at those things you were doing prior to being a caregiver. A lot of people are retired, but not everyone is retired. So for some people, it's going back to work. For others, it's getting back into the hobbies and the things that you were enjoying before you became a caregiver. Kind of the same thing as when you're in it being a caregiver is making sure you're taking care of yourself, because there's a lot of stress and anxiety, and there can be depression afterwards too. And really making sure that you're eating well, making sure you're seeking out the help that is best for your situation.
Yeah, the stress and the anxiety and everything, and like you said, depression, because the person that you've cared for all this time is no longer with us.
Yes.
No longer with you,
We had a resident that lived with us for a very long time in Bridgman, and their spouse came in every day and spent time every day and ate meals every day with the resident. And after the resident was no longer with us, he actually still comes back every Thursday. He started while he was there and his wife was there. He started doing music on Thursday afternoons. Mm-hmm. And that's something he still continues, and it's been several years.
Yeah.
And it's great for him to come back in. It's great for us to see him and be able to reconnect with him. And it kind of just continued that. And that's that I think has helped a lot.
Gives him purpose.
Yes.
I mean, if you think about it. Mm-hmm.
It was, we had, it's always easier for me to talk about myself than share someone else's story they don't have permission to share.
right.
But we had Maria, she used to work for us. She had retired and moved to Texas. She came back and lived with Matt and myself when we bought our house. And part of the reason why we had asked her to come back and live with us is because we knew that she had been diagnosed with leukemia. We knew that she had chosen not to have any treatment. And we really wanted her to be able to be in a place where she could just do whatever she needed to do and enjoy her life and not have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
What we weren't prepared for is how quick the leukemia kind of took a toll on her after about a year of living with us. And mm-hmm. It was at the point that she needed to either have treatment or figure out the next step. And so she chose treatment. And it was a 3-month period. It went by so fast that you just never had time to think two steps ahead. And we were in it till every moment.
Right.
And she got to the point where she stopped treatment. She chose to go on hospice. We gave her the choice of, you know, do you want to stay here? She was at Royalton Manor. Do you want to stay at Royalton Manor? Do you want to go to Woodland Terrace, or do you want to come back home? And she said, come back home. And she was at home for 4 days before she passed away. Mm-hmm. And those 4 days were nuts. I mean, I was ordering a lift chair for her before she got back. By the time she got there, she wasn't able to even get in the chair. We were ordering equipment. We got her a walker, realized by the time she got there, she actually needed a wheelchair. And it was like this mad rush of 4 days. And afterwards, it was kind of like, oh my goodness, like what just happened?
Yeah.
And kind of stopping and processing all of that was really important. Because when you're in it as a caregiver, you don't always have time to really process what you're experiencing, the emotions that are happening, anger, sadness, whatever it may be. And really taking the time to make sure you're addressing those and kind of working through those is so important when that caregiving job is done.
Well, yeah, you're embedded in it. I mean, really, you are. So you said you've got 10 different things. Can you run them down for us this morning?
Resume hobbies is the first one. Mm-hmm. Reestablish positive relationships. Go back to work, support a cause, or help others. Journaling is always a big one that pops up in caregiving. It's really important if you have the ability or the desire to kind of journal your experience.
That's, again, that forces you to have a little time to yourself, really, is what that, you know, I mean, you sit down, get that pencil and paper out, or open up the computer and start typing. That gives you a little time to, just some me time.
It does, and it kind of helps get it out of your head onto the paper, so it's not just bouncing around in your head repeatedly over and over, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, how many times have you, you know, went to reply to an email or something, and when you reply to the email, you're like, nah, I'm not going to send it, but it really felt good to write it, you know?
Yep, totally. Another big one is recognize depression. Consider counseling, and the other one is join a support group. So some great tips there.
Okay, so there was some interesting things showing up on the cameras outside the building this morning. It distracted me. It was like something shiny. That's what that was. So that was. They're not up there anymore. You've posted this information up on your website, Todd. Right?
I have. Yes.
Okay. And so where do you find all of this really good information? You're just a plethora of good information.
Where do I find it, or where does someone else find it?
Where do you find it? I mean, I know you do a lot of research. I mean, and that's important because you and everybody at Woodland Terrace. I mean, you've got to stay knowledgeable to be able to talk about and deal with the situations that you or your residents are experiencing.
Yeah, so I do a lot of Google searches. So a lot of the stuff that we come up with our topics is I'm aware of conversations that we're having at the campuses on a daily basis. And that's kind of what triggers my mind, like, oh, these are things that have come up several times in the past couple of weeks. Maybe this is something we should talk about. And so then I search and I read and I learn.
There you go. Well, never stop learning, right?
That's right.
That's the big thing. Well, if somebody's interested in learning more about what we just talked about or any of the other wealth of information that you have, where can we go?
WoodlandTerrace.com. We have a resource section, depending if you're mobile or on a computer. It's on the bottom of a mobile device. It's on the bottom right-hand corner if you're on a computer screen. We have all the articles listed there with links.
And how can they get a hold of you at any of the locations?
You can stop by any location anytime. You can call us. All of our phone numbers are listed on our website. Or on our website, there are form fills that you can fill out, and we can reach out to you with more information as you would like.
Awesome. Todd Dougherty from Woodland Terrace, living gracefully for this Tuesday. Thanks, Todd Dougherty. We'll see
you. Thank you, Ray.
See you next week, buddy.